Now turn with me to Genesis 15 and verses 1 and 2. Genesis 15 and verses 1 and 2. We go on with the story of Abraham. I'm going to read through to verse 5, but we are only going to consider verse 1 and 2 tonight. God speaks to Abraham. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside, and he said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Great text repeated throughout Scripture, justification through faith, being credited with righteousness through faith in the word and promise of God. But this is such a rich passage that I thought we would just look at verses 1 and 2 tonight, and then 2 through 6 next Sunday night. Have you ever heard God speak to you? It says, The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, and this is what God said. Now, have you ever heard the Lord speak to you? Many people wish they had, or they think they may have, but they can't be sure. We should be expecting about God speaking to us because he hasn't gone dumb. He does still speak. Question is how. I was once at a youth conference from the church where I was pastor, and we had invited an evangelist to speak to the young people as a guest speaker. And he told this story of a previous youth conference away in some house party place where he had been the speaker. And he said that there was a girl there, and her name was Pamela, Pam. And one night, a group of them were in the room, and there was just a wall between where they were in the bathroom, and Pam was taking a bath. And she was singing. She was full of the Lord, full of the Spirit, full of joy. And she was singing in the bath, and she didn't realize how thin was the wall, and everybody could hear her singing and splashing and everything. So somebody called out, Pam! And that stopped her splashing and her singing, and she went quiet for a moment. And she started again and was singing away and doing whatever she was doing, splish, splash. They called again, Pam, Pam. So she stopped and listened. And then she sang again, but a little more hesitantly. And when they called a third time, she stopped and said, Yes, Lord. And all the young people laughed like you understandably did. And the evangelist thought it was a great hoot. But I found tears pricking in my eyes. I just wished that I had that same expectancy for God to speak to me that she had. Because he spoke to Samuel, the boy Samuel, spoke to Abraham, spoke to Elijah, spoke to David, spoke to Solomon, spoke to many people all the way through the Bible, spoke to the Apostle Paul. And I just thought it was rather lovely, and I don't care who she was or is. I just thought that was rather wonderful that she had that expectancy that the Lord would call her name and bring her a message. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. Let's consider when the Lord spoke to him, and then how the Lord spoke to him, and then just what the Lord said to him. When the Lord spoke to him, well, it was after this, says the NIV, after these things. What things? Well, Genesis 14, 1 to 16, for instance, things. We're in Genesis 15, so Genesis 14, 1 to 16, things, when God had given him a great victory. You remember last week and the week before, the four kings, Chedorlaomer and his armies, had carried off the five kings from the plain, cities of the plain, including Sodom and Gomorrah, and including Lot, had carried them off into captivity. But Abraham went after them with his small little band of 318 men and rescued them after a great victory. And it was after this that God spoke to him, after these things. And he said to him, "Fear not, don't be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield." You see, maybe after the victory and when he got home and got settled down again, he may have begun to wonder, "I wonder what will happen now. Kings don't like to be robbed of their spoils any more than lions do. I mean, this Chedorlaomer, he may well be back when he learns that it was just a small group of amateurish soldiers, amateurs, 318 of them from nomadic shepherds who defeated him by a ruse, by an attack, by an ambush. He may be back. Then what will happen to us?" And God says, after this, "Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield." It's an interesting thing, isn't it, that after victories sometimes reactions set in. And we go through times of doubt and fear. After this. And then chapter 14, verses 17 to 24, there was a great experience that he had of Melchizedek, king of righteousness, king of peace, the mysterious Melchizedek that we drew attention to last Sunday night and said he was either a theophany or a Christophany of the Lord Jesus Christ, or else he was certainly a mysterious king, deliberately shrouded in mystery by the inspired writer so that he would be a type of Christ, a picture of Christ. Well, anyway, he came out and met with Abraham after the battle and brought out bread and wine. King of righteousness, king of peace, priest of God Most High, Elyon, blessed Abraham. And Abraham gave him a tenth. Such a wonderful blessing and such a wonderful experience that he had from the hand of this one that he refused the king of Sodom's goods. But I wonder if there was a reaction that set in after that. Because God says, "I am your very great reward," or "your reward will be very great." It can be either. Sometimes after great victories and great experiences and great crises, we need a special word. There are special times when God comes to us and gives us a timely word. Abraham had one, if we can put it this way, in Genesis 13 and verse 14. I drew your attention to it a few Sunday nights ago. "The Lord said to Abraham after Lot parted from him." See, the Holy Spirit doesn't put these little details in for nothing. They're not just merely part of the narrative. They are part of the narrative, but they're deliberate. Every word of the Bible is inspired and is deliberately placed by the Holy Spirit. "The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north, south, east and west. All the land that you see I will give you to your offspring forever." Don't think you've lost anything by giving him the first choice and he's taken the best and gone down to the fertile plain and pitched his tent near Sodom and Gomorrah. He thinks he's gone to paradise. It's going to be more like hell. You've made the best choice. Come and see your inheritance, north, south, east and west. There are times when, for some reason or other, we just need that word from the Lord. And after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Elijah after Mount Carmel. Great experience on Mount Carmel, great victory, and the Lord vindicated his glory in the way that Elijah wanted, and all the people said, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God," and the prophets of Baal shall be put to death. But there was no national revival, and Jezebel remained alive and was hunting for the prophet. North, south, east and west wanted, dead or alive, Elijah, and he fled into the desert and then on to Mount Horeb to meet with God, and the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" In the New Testament, John chapter 9, a wonderful story of a man born blind that Jesus healed. And then the Pharisees and the religious leaders came to him and began to argue with him and question with him and chastise him and everything because he'd been healed on the Sabbath day. He couldn't argue with these theologians, and he said to them, well, all I know is once I was blind and now I can see. So they cast him out of the synagogue. And verse 35 says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. He found him and said, just when he needed another meeting with the Saviour, another word, he got one. Acts chapter 18, the Apostle Paul at Corinth, a very pagan and notoriously immoral city. And he'd gone there with his knees knocking and very fearful. You folks who are going up this district and walking up the garden path and knocking at doors and ringing doorbells and waiting to see if you're going to be welcomed or ridiculed or what's going to happen. Well, if you're fear and trembling, so was the great Apostle Paul. I came not to you at Corinth, he writes to them later on, with the worldly power and great courage and eloquence, but with fear, but only in the power of God. Well, the Jews resisted, and Paul was banned from the synagogue. There were some converts, Crispus the ruler believed, and some Gentiles. And then we read, and the Lord said to Paul in the night in a vision, do not be afraid. Same message. Speak and do not be silent, and no one shall attack you and harm you, for I have many people in this city. I haven't come yet, but they're elect, and you'll find them, and I will draw them, and they will come. So keep on evangelizing. Acts 23:11, when the same man, Paul, was rescued from the mob in Jerusalem, the following night the Lord stood by him and said, take courage. For as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome. When the Lord spoke to him, just when he needed to hear the word of the Lord. And that's typical of the Lord. How the Lord spoke to him? Well, it says in a vision. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Well, that's more substantial than a dream, but it's less than a theophany, an actual appearance before him of somebody like Melchizedek, or later on another one. So far as I know, the Lord has never spoken to me in a dream or a vision. I'd be glad if he did, but I cannot recall ever being convinced that he was doing so. In the ancient days, he sometimes chose this method of communication. I would not say that he never does today. I would not say that. Some say that. I would not say it myself. Before my mother died, she died when I was 7, before my mother died, she told us, and I'll tell you more of the story maybe some other time in context, she told us she had just had a vision of the Lord Jesus. And we only had to look at her face and the way she was sitting up in bed, whereby hitherto she'd been very ill and lying down, that we knew she'd certainly seen something. And I remember it. It's one of my earliest recollections. So I'm very careful not to say that this could never happen today, just because I've never had a vision or a dream and the Lord has spoken to me that way. I'm very careful not to say he never does for anybody else, but I'm also very careful not to believe every story that comes down the pike, aren't you? And so is Dr. John MacArthur of the Grace Community Church in Panorama City, whose ministry I have benefited from more than I can say. He tells how a friend told him that Jesus often comes into the bathroom in the morning when he's shaving and puts his arm around him. He said to him, the Lord Jesus? So he said, yes, you don't believe it, do you, John? And he says, no, but what worries me is that you do. And then John MacArthur said to his friend, tell me something. Do you go on shaving? It's a thought. Because when we read in the Bible of an appearance of the Lord before anyone, they are awestruck before him. And the Lord has to come to them and say, do not be afraid. Like he did to Isaiah. who saw the thrice holy God. Seems to me we're living in days when some people have either a vivid imagination or a desire to be one up on other people. When the Apostle Paul had a vision of the Lord, and he doesn't seem to have had very many, and he never told about it. He kept it very much to himself until eventually, because of false apostles who were always boasting about their experiences and putting themselves up and up and up above him, he eventually, very reluctantly, shared it to some extent with the church at Corinth. So I think we mustn't be gullible, and we must be very careful. We must remember that in Old Testament times they didn't have the complete written word of God as we do. In fact, Abraham probably had none of it. They did not have the full revelation of God in Jesus Christ, as we do. They did not have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, as we do. They did not have the collected wisdom of 2,000 years of church history in the preaching of God's word, as we do. So yes, the Lord does speak today. How does the Lord speak? Well, he may speak through a vision or a dream, as he did in those days of the Old Testament dispensation. If he does, it's very, very rare. I certainly have never had anything like that, though I believe my mother did just before she died. But he speaks to us through his word, the Bible. Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That's why it's called God's word, because it's God's message, God's voice. So if we want God to speak to us, we must read the Bible, and we must hear it preached, and we must spend time in quiet prayer. Your most likely time to hear God speak to you is in your reading time, what we used to call the quiet time, in your reading time, or in your worship time, when you're listening to the exposition of the Word of God, because we believe, we preachers, that if God is gracious and will anoint us according to our earnest prayers and the prayers of many for us, we may become the mouthpiece of God. That doesn't mean that we think we're infallible. But it doesn't mean the opposite either, that we're merely mouthing the opinions of men. We believe that by God's grace we may be the messenger to someone's mind and someone's heart, because that is the work to which we have been called. I used to pray with my deacons in a previous church sometime every Sunday morning, and they would cry to God, "Let us hear the prophetic word today, Lord. Speak to us through your servant." And I know that's what you pray for me. And then you will hear him speak in your meditation time. And the trouble is, in this noisy world and culture in which we find ourselves, some of us don't have much by the way of meditation time. But the Holy Spirit, the still small voice inside, the inward voice, does tend to have a very low voice. He whispers. And if we're not quiet ever, we probably will miss it. And also he tends to answer questions that we have asked and prayers that we have offered. And if we never pray and never ask him anything, maybe we will not hear his voice. The inward voice is never contrary to the Bible, and it's never instead of the Bible. If my son wanted to come and visit us and he wasn't sure of the way, and so I sent him a photocopied, Xeroxed map with detailed instructions all written out, and then he called me up on the telephone and said, "Can you tell me the way to get to your house?" And I said, "Well, have you got the map?" And he said, "Oh, I have it, but I can't be bothered with that. Just tell me." I would say as politely as I could, "Son, I went to a lot of trouble to draw that map and copy it and write those instructions and send them in the mail. Would you please read the map, read the instructions, and then if you have any problems, call me up and ask for a special word." Do you see the point? And some of us go to God and say, "I don't know what to do. I don't know how to behave. I want some word from you to tell me which way to go. I want to hear your voice. I want you to guide me." And God says, have you been reading your Bible? Are you reading it every day? Are you looking in my word for the instructions? Are you listening to Harry as he expounds it? And are you listening to him in such a way as expecting a message from me to you? Oh, well, no. I can't really be bothered with that Bible, Lord, and reading. And as for listening to Harry, well, I can't get up in the morning or whatever. And God says, now look, you just use the means that I have given, and I will speak to you and guide you through those. Scripture, listen now, helps you and me to recognize God's voice inside over against other voices. There are many voices that come inside. Many whispers. Satan will whisper to you. Maybe some demon will whisper to you. Maybe some friend will whisper to you who is not of the Lord and the word of the Lord. Then what? Then what? How can you recognize whether it's God's voice? Because you're used to hearing it. You know, if you have a favorite radio station, you get used to the announcers. You get used to the sort of ads that they have on. So when you're twiddling the dial and trying to find it, suddenly you hear that familiar voice. And in all the cacophony of other voices, you say, that's it. That's the one. That's it. Go back a couple of notches. That's it. And that's how we recognize God's voice. Come expectant then to the word of God. Come to the word expectantly, like you would go to the mailbox when somebody has promised to write you a letter and send you a message. You're expecting a word from somebody. You're expecting a message. So you go to the mailbox to see if there's something from them with your name on it. Do the same when you come to your Bible reading. Do the same when you come to the service, morning and evening, Wednesday night. Lord, will you speak to me tonight? Not just to the whole church feeding the flock, but is there a word for me? It's got my name on it. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. Finally, what the Lord said to him. What? When the Lord spoke to him. How the Lord spoke to him. What the Lord said to him. Two things. I am your shield and your very great reward. I am your shield. Do not be afraid. Kedoleoma, so what? If God could deliver Abraham once, he could deliver him again and again and again. He had revealed himself to Abraham as God Most High, El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth. And we have to remember that. Sometimes I think we might benefit from going out and looking up at the stars if we can see them like Abraham was to do, and we're going to talk about that next Sunday night. You see, we sometimes don't see the things, the lights that God has made, because of the lights that men have made. They're useful. We thank God for them. They light our streets. But sometimes it might be good for us to get somewhere where we can just see God's light and think about the immensity of creation and say, God made it all. It's beyond computation. And he sustains it all. And he's going to make a new world. And maybe we will travel to the planets and travel to the stars and do so not at the speed of a rocket ship, but at the speed of thought. And he is my God and my Father. And why am I afraid? Fear not. 360 something times the Bible says fear not. One for every day, one for every fear. There are probably at least that many fears that some of us may have. Fear of illness, fear of loneliness, fear of old age, fear of being young, fear of failure, failing parents, disappointing parents, disappointing our spouses, fear of friends, what they think, what they say, what they're saying behind our backs. Paranoias that we may have, some of us more than others. Fear of unemployment, fear of the day, fear of the night, fear of the dark, fear of the light, fear of being single, fear of being married, fear of losing money, fear of losing loved one, fear of pain, fear of dying, fear of death, fear of the past, fear of the present, fear of the future. There is no enemy that El Elyon, God Most High, cannot defeat. There is no onslaught He cannot shield you from. There is no circumstance in your life or mine, but He has not directed it and will handle it His own way and use it to achieve His purposes, which are always for our good and for His glory. There may be someone here tonight and you have a fear. I don't know what your fear is, maybe many fears, and you need to hear the word of the Lord. There may be somebody listening to the radio broadcast and you have a fear. Somebody driving a car and you have a fear. You're afraid. Somebody sitting at home alone and you're afraid. Somebody sitting with a friend listening and you're afraid. I have two scriptures that I feel led to share with you. It may be God's message for you. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Maybe this is the word of the Lord to you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you, maybe somebody listening to me and someone is raging against you. I know some people. I've talked to some people in the last 2 weeks. Some near here, some far from here. People are raging against them. Somebody listening to me, either here or out there, listening to the radio broadcast. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Is that the word of the Lord for somebody? It's straight from the scriptures. Maybe that's the word with your name on it. Or is it this? 43 of Isaiah verses 1 and 2. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob. He who formed you, O Israel. Fear not. Why should I fear not, Lord? For I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God. Redeemed one, Jesus died for you. God showed His love for you in that while you were a sinner like me, Christ died for you. Don't doubt His love. Don't doubt His word. Don't doubt His promise. I could give you a promise that I cannot keep. Even the president of the most powerful country in the world could give you a promise that he cannot keep. But God will never give you a promise that he cannot keep. Or will not keep. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid. I am your shield and your very great reward. You see, he had refused Sodom's offer, and he had given one-tenth of all he possessed to the mysterious Melchizedek, the priest of God Most High. Did he suffer a reaction now and wonder if he'd been wise or foolish? Wonder if he should have been as materialistic as his nephew, Lot? No, because nobody ever gives to the Lord and loses by it. Malachi 3:10, bring the tithe into the storehouse, says the Lord, and prove me now if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing upon you that you cannot contain it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, said the Lord Jesus, and his righteousness, and all these things that the people around worry about and lose sleep over and grab hold of will be added unto you. Luke 18, verse 28, Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. You see, there are a lot of people who say, oh, well, if you give to God now, you'll lay up treasure in heaven. Yes, you will. But he says you won't even lose now. Now, he doesn't say exactly how he will repay us in what coinage, but you could be sure that God's rewards will always exceed any sacrifice that we make. So, I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. Or I am your shield and your great reward. I myself, says God to Abraham, not only will I give you a great reward, I am your great reward. Thou, O Christ, wrote the hymn writer Charles Wesley, thou, O Christ, art all I want. It's like the girl in Love who said to her boyfriend, it's not your money I want, it's you. You. And isn't that the end of it all with us? Well, if we have the Lord, don't we have everything? So God speaks to Abraham, and he still speaks. Do you listen? Maybe you have just not picked it up because you've been listening in the wrong place or expecting the wrong voice. Come to the Word. Come to the mailbox. Be quiet. And I believe he will speak to you just as he many times has spoken to me, through the Word and by the Spirit. And he always tells us again and again and again, don't be afraid. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Our Father, we thank you for this word. We pray that we may heed it. And we pray that if it's a special word for anybody either here or listening to our broadcast, wherever they may be, may that person know that you are not dumb, that you speak as you ever did. You want us to listen, and we shall be strengthened and comforted. Be with us now, we pray, as we fellowship together for a while longer. We thank you for this church family. We pray that we may be those who are faithful as you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.